Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. I stand before you this morning, tall in hope, although not in height, as my grandchildren remind me in fun-filled eye-to-eye tests when we meet. Just who is growing taller or almost as tall as Grandma? If you want a demonstration later, we can do that for you. I feel I'm privileged to be here this morning, being fairly new residents of Virginia. My husband and I are enjoying getting to know different churches, different communities, and it's especially great to be able to come to the church that our children and grandchildren come to. It's also just a privilege to be here to help introduce this special time of year that we look forward again, remind ourselves again that God has come near to us. I stand tall before you this morning in hope, a hope that transcends shrinking backbones and physical pain, a hope that transcends discouragement and tragedy, a hope that carries one through wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, dark despair, injustice, rejection, abuse, realities in a godless world that's crying out for redemption even as it does not know it is doing so. I stand tall before you this morning in a hope that places my faith, and hopefully yours, in the child of hope whose birthday season we enter on this first Sunday of Advent. The child of hope whose promises we cling to as we walk toward eternity. Throughout biblical history, as well as in our world today, God has always faithfully cared for those who trust him, offering hope, redemption, and renewed life, even when darkness and judgment, persecution, and pain seem impenetrable. I think of Hagar, not a major biblical figure, but one who in loneliness and despair found God's eyes upon her, and thus found courage to bear her son amidst abuse and ridicule. Because of hope, Hagar could stand tall. I think of the exiles of Israel and Judah, who did plenty of groaning and crying as they grieved the loss of their homeland. And I believe the children and youth in their Sunday school curriculum this fall heard some of the stories of these exiles and stories of faith. God never left these people. In fact, he gave them a job to do right where they were, to plant trees, to seek the welfare of the city. The exiles could stand tall in hope wherever they were when they trusted God was with them. I think of the shepherds grazing their sheep on the night of Christ's birth, with the dramatic and probably somewhat frightening intrusion of heavenly messengers announcing the arrival of the Messiah. But the shepherds, we find, did not cower in fear, at least not for long. And although they did take flight, it was toward the child of hope lying in the manger, not away from the child of hope. The shepherds stood tall because they believed God's promise to make things right. I think of the disciples in our gospel reading for today from Luke 21. Jesus had been telling them that tough times were ahead, but he would never leave them or forsake them. Jesus warned them of false prophets and unbelievers who would make life difficult for them. But if they faithfully endured, they could stand tall, with heads raised in hope and expectation when Jesus returned to receive them into his eternal kingdom. I think of us sitting together in worship this morning. I don't know you well, although there's a few of you I know a little better because we shared women's retreat together. I really believe, though, that you too, we are all people here for a reason this morning, showing that we are people who benefit greatly from God's faithful care and provision, both physically and spiritually, in the good times and in the bad times. Although we are insulated by thousands of years from Jesus' promise to return to earth, many of us, like Hagar, have sensed God's eyes upon us, even in the darkest of times. So how do we stand tall, raising our heads toward the joy and peace of Christ's return, when our souls are disquieted by the pain around us? How do we wait in faith when news headlines begin to sound like the signs that Jesus warned us to watch for? How do we keep ourselves strong in Christ when there's so much to do? How do we prepare ourselves to meet Jesus face to face? Jesus answers some of these questions in Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. And I invite you to turn to that passage in your Bible. We don't have time to spend a lot of time with it, but I want to point out some very specific ways that Jesus addresses this waiting business. Luke 21. Beginning in 25, if you recall, he's speaking about signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and even the verses prior to that, he was responding to some questions from the disciples. Well, how will we know when you're going to come again? How will we know that? And so he's spoken about the wars and the insurrections, the earthquakes, the famines, the plagues, and then he begins talking about signs from the sky here in verse 25. And distress among the nations. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the Lord, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now verse 28, note the action words here. Now when these things, granted, some of them pretty depressing and scary things, when these things begin to take place, what are we to do? Jesus said, "Stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is coming near." Then he tells them the parable of the fig tree and all the trees, a little lesson about the seasons and how Creator God has so beautifully crafted the nature that we so often take for granted. But just as you watch the trees drop their leaves so their fruit is ripe for picking, so the right time will be when Jesus comes again, when the kingdom of God is near. And then he gives this promise in verse 33 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Then he gives us just a few more action words, things we can really claw into while we're waiting, I believe. Verse 34, Jesus says, "Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness." Dissipation is kind of just like no sense of purpose, not completely undisciplined, just not knowing what to do. And of course, drunkenness is a replacement thing, the addictions that we fill our lives with when we're looking for meaning and looking for peace. And the worries of this life, well, we all know what those are, don't we? Don't be weighed down with these things so that the day of Christ will not find you unprepared. It won't catch you unexpectedly. So be on guard, Jesus told his disciples. Don't get weighed down with life and worries, for it will come upon. It's going to come, he said. And then the third action statement Jesus gives them, it's kind of like be on guard, a little different. He says, be alert in verse 36. And then he says what they can do to stay alert, and that is to pray that you will have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and the strength to stand before the Son of Man. What does Jesus' teaching here mean for us today? Personally, I believe what Jesus is saying. I believe again and again. Early Christians believed the words that Jesus will come again. I find, however, in my own life, it's easy to kind of lose touch of that. And Christ in his first coming is so much more real and meaningful to me. And I guess that makes sense, because the second coming is way out there someplace, but it's going to happen. But because Jesus came the first time, and that's what we're celebrating this season, because he came, we already know him. He's already in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, this marvelous grace of God. And so, of course, this first coming is so much more real, at least to me, I would guess to you. And yet I believe. I believe these words of Jesus, that he will come again. I certainly have experienced God's eyes upon me, especially in times that I earnestly seek for hope. And I would pray that you have felt God's eyes upon you as well. I know what Jesus is talking about when he warns the disciples to be on guard against things that weigh them down. Like the comforts and the security that insulate me from a desire to see the world I know turned upside down, like some of these descriptions give us in the Bible. Or help other things that weigh us down might be just the groaning and the injustice of a sinful world out there that needs God to come and make things right. A sinful world crying for redemption. Or perhaps it's just being weighed down by a bitterness that's harbored deep in our hearts that we're not quite ready to let go of. I believe that Christ is present with us in the Spirit, even as we wait for him now, wiping tears of sorrow, righting the wrongs of the world, forgiving the sins of the world, even the sin and apathy in my own heart that sometimes weighs me down. One of the best ways I have found personally to monitor my blind spots, my transgressions, in preparation for Judgment Day, is the daily discipline of the consciousness examine, a prayer practice that was cultivated in the Middle Ages and modified in many forms today. Basically, in this prayer discipline, you ask God to help you take inventory of your heart and your life each day. How has God been present in my day? What gifts has God given me today? What sins is God revealing to me? What do I need to confess? What do I need to make right? These things you give to God, along with other hopes and concerns as you rest in the comfort of God's everlasting love. I like to do this prayer in the evenings, keeping my Christ connection crisp and current, receiving him anew daily as I learn to grow in him in the waiting. God will guide each of us, each of you, in different ways, as we stand ready and alert to receive our Lord and Savior, now and into eternity. We do well to share our God sightings and interventions with each other as faith-building exercises. When Jesus said, "Be alert," that means not have your head in the sand, but be watching. How is God making things right now? And our children's story this morning was a wonderful example of that. Where is God present in your life? How has God been there for you? What is God putting on your heart to make right for others? Most of us simply wait in the ordinary experiences of our own lives, faithfully following Jesus in our work, in our homes, our churches, our communities. Most of us simply wait in the ordinary days of our lives, sowing seeds of hope, growing fruits of righteousness that minister to or crowd out the chaos and the darkness, which threatens not only our own stability, but threatens the salvation of the world. Consider seeds of hope quietly planted by one Clarence Jordan at Koinonia Farm in Georgia during the 40s and 50s. Jordan was a man of unusual abilities and commitment, who chose to apply his advanced degrees of agriculture and the biblical languages to developing a community of poor whites for poor whites and poor blacks, an idea that did not go over very well in the Deep South in the 40s. Ironically, much of the resistance came from good church people who followed the laws of segregation as much as other folks in town. The town people tried everything to stop Clarence. They tried boycotting him and slashing the workers' tires as they came to town over and over for 14 years. They tried to stop him. And finally, in 1954, the Ku Klux Klan decided to get rid of him for good. They came one night with guns and torches and set fire to every building on Koinonia Farm, except for Clarence's home, which they riddled with bullets. And they chased off all families, except for one family that would not leave. Now, Clarence was a part of that community, and he recognized the voices of many of the Klansmen. And some of them he recognized as church people. Another one he recognized was a local newspaper reporter who came out to see what remained of the farm the next day. The rubble still smoldered and the land was scorched. But he found Clarence in the field, hoeing and planting. I heard the awful news, the reporter called out to Clarence, and I came out to do a story on the tragedy of the closing of your farm. Clarence just kept on hoeing and planting. The reporter kept prodding, poking, trying to get a rise from this quietly determined man who seemed to be planting instead of packing his bags. And finally, the reporter said in a haughty voice, "Well, Dr. Jordan, you've got two of them PhDs, and you've had 14 years put in this farm, and there's nothing left at all. Just how successful do you think you have been?" Clarence Jordan stopped hoeing, turned toward the reporter with his penetrating blue eyes, and said quietly but firmly, "About as successful as the cross, sir. I don't think you understand us. What we are about is not success. What we are about is faithfulness." And beginning that day, Clarence and his companions rebuilt Koinonia Farms, and the farm continues to this day. There is little that gives such hope as a summer garden, where the vegetables and the flowers are growing so beautifully that you don't mind or notice even the thorns. Or perhaps the plants are so lush and thick that they even crowd out the weeds. Or you find a man who keeps on hoeing because he's resting in God's will and God's care. If God is waiting for his grand finale until more people are redeemed into God's flower garden, and there's scripture to back that up, we have work to do, folks. And we have some growing to do so that we ourselves are ready to meet our Master face to face. This is how we stand tall with hope in the waiting, the scriptures tell us. Praying for strength and for endurance of faith. Resting in the one who has come, in the one who will come to make things right. Building up treasures in heaven rather than here on earth that may weigh us down. And trusting the word. The word that never ends. The word that calls us and has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Indeed, the one who calls us and waits for us is faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for reminders that we need. We thank you for being there to look down upon us in times of despair. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you have already made things right. Through that special gift of your Son, with whom we walk toward eternity. Prepare us. Convict us. Lead us toward that day when we shall meet you face to face.